It's Patrick Hutzel from intensivecarehotline.com, where we help families of critically ill patients in intensive care to instantly improving their lives so that you can have peace of mind, exercise power, influence decision making fast, even if you're not a doctor or a nurse in intensive care. Welcome to another video in our video series. And in this video, you're going to learn the ultimate 6-step guide for family meetings with the intensive care team so that you have peace of mind, control, power, and influence if your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Once again, welcome to another video in our intensivecarehotline.com ebook and video series. And once again, congratulations for you taking action in getting informed and taking control. Just by you getting informed, you stand out from the rest of the families of critically ill patients in intensive care, and it will give you an edge when dealing with the challenges, difficulties, and complexities in intensive care. Our video and ebook series will help you to find your voice, and it will show you how to have peace of mind, take control, be powerful, and influence decision-making fast in the jungle of complexities surrounding intensive care, and it will more importantly help you to have peace of mind, be in control, feel powerful, and influence decision making fast. In this video, you will discover the guide to follow this ultimate 6-step guide for family meetings with the intensive care team that will help you to have peace of mind, control, power, and influence if your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. In this video, I'm going to show you how you can have something that 99% of families of critically ill patients in intensive care have no idea how to get. They don't even know that it exists. You probably want to know what it is, and you probably want to know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about control, power, and influence in family meetings with the intensive care team. Now, if I had a dollar for every family of a critically ill patient in intensive care who has been in a family meeting with the intensive care team who had no control, no power, and no influence, I would be a millionaire. And if I had a dollar for every family of a critically ill patient in intensive care who went into a family meeting with the intensive care team and they had no idea about the dynamics, the positioning of the intensive care team, the perceptions, the preconceived notions, the power play, the intrigue, the politics, and the psychology of those meetings, I would even be a billionaire. If I have learned one thing after more than 15 years of intensive care nursing in 3 different countries, it's that families of critically ill patients in intensive care have very little or no control, power, and influence if they choose to. And the situation is even worse when it comes to family meetings with the intensive care team. In those official and formal meetings, the intensive care team is setting the scene, whereas families of critically ill patients have no idea how to deal with those dynamics in those challenging meetings. They don't know how to position themselves. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what questions they need to ask, and they are generally speaking ill-prepared. Families of critically ill patients in intensive care, furthermore, also have no idea how the intensive care team views and prepares for those meetings, and families also don't know that the intensive care team has scripted those meetings well in advance. Hence, the intensive care team knows what to say, and they know how to say it. The intensive care team is generally speaking a master at orchestrating those meetings so that they can continue driving their agenda, an agenda that you and your family, generally speaking, have no idea about. It's also an agenda that's well hidden from the public, and the intensive care team's agenda is dependent on the financial interests of the intensive care unit, the bed status and other admissions awaiting admission into a precious, scarce, and expensive intensive care bed. Their positioning is also dependent on research projects that are going on in the intensive care unit, and those research projects generally attract 5, 6, or even seven-figure dollar funding into the unit from universities, pharmaceutical companies, or even from government organizations. The intensive care team's positioning is also dependent on personal beliefs held by powerful individuals within the intensive care team that can be vastly different from your and your family's beliefs. The intensive care team's positioning is also dependent on the power play in the intensive care unit, within the hospital, and within the intensive care team even. Their positioning is also dependent on the politics in the intensive care unit, within the hospital, and within the intensive care team. The intensive care team's positioning is also dependent on the dynamics in the intensive care unit and within the intensive care team. It's also dependent on the intrigue in the intensive care unit and within the intensive care team. The intensive care team's positioning is also dependent on the constant fight for limited resources within the hospital, within the intensive care unit, and even within the intensive care team. And last but not least, the intensive care team's positioning is dependent on the psychology within an intensive care unit. Generally speaking, there is a lot at stake for the intensive care team that goes way beyond your loved one's best interest. Considering all of those facts, you can see that there's a lot at stake for the intensive care team and for the intensive care unit, and that's why the intensive care team frames those meetings in ways that is very subtle and is almost invisible for somebody who doesn't know and doesn't understand the dynamics, the intrigue, and the psychology in the intensive care team versus family relationship. The biggest challenge here, however, is that you and your family are coming ill-prepared, and you and your family, generally speaking, have no idea about the moving parts in an intensive care unit, and you and your family have no idea what's happening behind the scenes in an intensive care unit. After all, you don't know what you don't know, but the good news is that you are about to discover. Families of critically ill patients are also often having blind faith in the abilities and even in the motives of the intensive care team. Unfortunately, families of critically ill patients in intensive care are therefore very often on the wrong path, and their thinking is wrong altogether, especially in difficult and challenging situations where your critically ill loved one faces uncertainty in situations such as they are very unstable and in a very critical condition, they are in a life-threatening situation, or if they have been in intensive care for long-term treatment and or for a long-term stay, including severe head and brain injuries, or even worse, if they are approaching their end of life in intensive care. Family meetings in those difficult and challenging situations tend to be driven by the intensive care team's agenda and the intensive care team's positioning and the positioning of your critically ill loved one's prognosis and diagnosis by the intensive care team is driven by their interests and not by your interests. The good news is that you are about to learn what's happening behind the scenes in intensive care, and you are about to discover the moving parts in an intensive care unit, because this insider knowledge will help you to understand why and how the intensive care team positions your critically ill loved one's diagnosis and prognosis. And by you getting that crucial behind the scenes insight, you will learn how you can position yourself powerfully in those meetings so that you will have peace of mind, control, power, and influence. As a rule of thumb, 99% of families of critically ill patients in intensive care have no control, power, and influence, let alone peace of mind. And 99% of families of critically ill patients just take for face value whatever the intensive care team is telling them. Now, the good news is that if you are watching this right now, that you don't belong to those 99% of those families, because you probably had a hunch, a feeling, or an insight that you need to take action and that you need to be proactive about getting informed and taking matters in your own hands. Congratulations! you now belong in that 1% bracket of families of critically ill patients in intensive care who have control, power and influence, and I can promise and assure you that the intensive care team will notice and the dynamics will change in your favor immediately, as soon as the intensive care team notices that you have assumed control, power and influence. So why are families of critically ill patients so ill prepared for family meetings with the intensive care team? Well, you see, as I have mentioned before, the intensive care team has scripted those family meetings with you well in advance, before you and your family even knew that the intensive care team or even you asked for that meeting in the first place. As a rule of thumb, 9 out of 10 family meetings are held because bad news are being delivered. Just think about this for 1 minute. 9 out of 10 family meetings are held when there's bad news. Do you think that would be challenging for the intensive care team? Do you think that would be challenging for you and for your family? Well, you bet. Therefore, the intensive care team knows how to break bad news. They have mastered the art, so to speak, and they know how to continuously drive their agenda, even in those often challenging family meetings. The intensive care team knows what to say and how to say it. They have also mastered the art of pre-framing those family meetings, often by having these formal meetings in a quiet hospital room nearby or even in the intensive care unit. That by itself sets the stage and sets the perceived power dynamics. Imagine you would be having those family meetings in your house or at a more neutral place, like a nearby cafe close to the hospital. It would change the dynamics immediately. Since that's not the case, however, you and your family need to learn a few things in order to challenge the intensive care team's positioning. You need to challenge the intensive care team's perceived power, and you and your family need to know what questions you need to ask in those meetings, what mental positioning you need to have, how to control your emotions effectively, how you can get what you want, how to turn things around so that you have peace of mind, control, power and influence. The fact of the matter is that the intensive care team has been having those meetings over and over again. Given that 9 out of 10 family meetings are held for delivering bad news, the intensive care team knows how families react in those emotional and dramatic family meetings, and they know and understand the psychology and dynamics in those meetings. The intensive care team often takes advantage of your emotions, and they know how to juggle your emotions so that they can continue driving their agenda. In order to change the situation for you, for your family and for your critically ill loved one so that you have more control, power and influence, we need to change a few things, and those things are: you need to start asking the right questions. You need to challenge the perceived power of the intensive care team in those family meetings. The challenge is that nobody ever does that, and it's the biggest mistake families make. You also need to stop being intimidated by the intensive care team. You need to discover how to control your emotions and also use your emotions to your advantage effectively. And you will discover how the intensive care team manipulates your emotions in a family meeting and drives their agenda. As I have promised in the beginning of this video, we now look in detail at the ultimate 6-step guide for family meetings with the intensive care team that will help you to have peace of mind, control, power and influence if your loved one is critically ill in intensive care. Let's start now with number 1. Family meetings with the intensive care team have their own dynamics, or the elephant in the room. Now, as I have briefly hinted on before, family meetings in intensive care usually are only held to deliver bad news. As a rule of thumb, you and your family can be briefed at the bedside if things are going well and if your critically ill loved one is on their way to recovery. If the intensive care team is asking for a family meeting, it's generally speaking to deliver bad news. On the other hand, sometimes families are asking for a formal meeting as well, if things aren't progressing and or if families think they want to speak to the intensive care team. Most of the time, however, family meetings are initiated by the intensive care team, and that sets the wheels and also some very specific dynamics and perceptions in motion. Now, in most intensive care units that I have worked in, family meetings are held in dark, sterile and unfriendly waiting rooms or meeting rooms nearby or even in the intensive care unit. Most of the time, a box of tissues is already waiting on the table, ready for families to be used when they start crying. That's not a good starting point, and it's a very negative and not so subtle tone from the start. Other dynamics that are set in motion at the beginning of a family meeting are things like the perceived authority and the perceived power of the intensive care team. The intimidation that many families of critically ill patients in intensive care feel by the sheer presence of doctors and nurses. Also, the helplessness, the frustrations, the fears, the vulnerability, the stress, the overwhelm, and the feeling of not knowing what to do is a huge feeling experienced by families of critically ill patients in intensive care. Other dynamics that are set in motion are the fear of losing your critically ill loved one, and the elimination of that fear is almost impossible to shed in a formal family meeting with the intensive care team. And also the clear-cut agenda that is set by the intensive care team that remains largely hidden from you and your family, that is basically the elephant in the room. On top of those feelings, you probably already know that if the intensive care team wants to meet with you and with your family, that there aren't any good news waiting for you. Now, if you look at those dynamics, you and your family are not in a good starting position, and that's exactly why family meetings with the intensive care team are so challenging, frustrating, emotional, and also frightening. You need to know that the intensive care team, generally speaking, is in the pole position. You and your family have no idea what to expect. You generally have no idea what questions you need to ask. You have no idea what you are walking into, and you feel you have no peace of mind, no control, no power, and no influence. On top of that, the intensive care team knows what to say, they know how to say it, and they generally know and understand the emotions that families of critically ill patients feel, and they often use those emotions to their advantage, continuously driving their agenda. In order for you to start those meetings off on a better note and also with more control, power and influence from the very start, you may want to ask the intensive care team to have the family meeting outside of intensive care, and you may ask to have the family meeting in a nearby coffee shop or even outside in a nearby park in summer. Also, think about if you had the family meeting in your house, do you think it would change the dynamics and it would set a different tone? It surely would. Setting the scene is extremely important, and the intensive care team are the master at setting the scene if you let them. Having meetings in meeting rooms with no natural daylight, where a box of tissues is generally sitting on the table, ready for the families of critically ill patients to use those tissues when they start crying, sets very powerful and very negative dynamics off from the very start, well orchestrated by the intensive care team. Having such setups in meeting rooms imply a lot of negativity from the very start. It also means that the intensive care team is basically playing on home ground, and you and your family are the away team, so to speak. Now, by you asking for another meeting venue will set the scene, and it will show the intensive care team that you are not intimidated, that you understand the dynamics, and it also shows that you and your family know what you want. It also shows the intensive care team that you are having an awareness of what to expect, and it shows the intensive care team that you have different expectations and also different ideas about those meetings. Try it out, and I'll promise your level of control, power, influence, and peace of mind will be increased big time. Let's move on to number two. The psychology of those meetings and what the intensive care team really wants. In order for you to have peace of mind, control, power, and influence in family meetings with the intensive care team, you need to understand the deeper psychology and also the positioning of the intensive care team. As I have briefly mentioned before, the intensive care team knows what they want, and they generally know how to get it if you're not prepared. Families of critically ill patients, on the other hand, often don't know what they want because they are generally overwhelmed by their emotions, frustrations, by their fears. They feel very vulnerable, and they often also don't see the light at the end of the tunnel of their loved one's critical illness. The fear of losing their critically ill loved one is huge, and families of critically ill patients tend to be so far outside of their comfort zone that they don't know what to do. The intensive care team, on the other hand, knows and understands your emotions to the point that they use it to their advantage and to continuously drive their agenda. In situations where the intensive care team wants to meet with you, they are generally speaking situations where your critically ill loved one is either very unstable and in a very critical condition, or they are in a life-threatening situation, or they have been in intensive care for long-term treatments and or for long-term stays, including severe head and brain injuries. Or even worse, they are approaching their end of life in intensive care. Those are all challenging situations, and in order to understand the intensive care team's positioning in those situations, you and your family need to understand how an intensive care unit operates on a psychological level, and how the intensive care team views and perceives those situations. You also need to know the intensive care team's hidden agenda. You need to keep in mind that the intensive care team is having those meetings over and over again, many times a week, and sometimes even many times in a day. During all of those situations, the intensive care team, generally speaking, operates from a mindset of: what is the intensive care team's financial budget interest in your critically ill loved one's case? Will they make or will they lose money if they continue treating your critically ill loved one? The intensive care team is also constantly thinking about what the current bed situation is in intensive care. Do they need to free up some beds quickly because they have other admissions competing for intensive care beds? They are also constantly thinking about their personal beliefs, values, and ethics of some of the key members of the intensive care team. Do they believe in the recovery of your critically ill loved one? Or do they not believe in the recovery of your critically ill loved one? Are they under pressure from their peers or hospital executives? Do they compete for limited resources within intensive care or with other hospital departments? What are the intensive care team's research interests in your critically ill loved one's case? Can they do some medical research on your critically ill loved one that attracts 5, 6, or even 7 figure funding to their hospital from universities, the government, or from pharmaceutical companies? Also, very important to know for you is that most intensive care teams think they know what is best, and they operate from that mindset that is bordering on arrogance, or sometimes even is sheer arrogance, that leave your opinion, your beliefs, your values, your ethics, and your judgment out of the equation. On top of that, the intensive care team knows that you are ill-prepared, or even not prepared at all. That tends to be the psychology and the dynamics at play in family meetings with the intensive care team. And unless you have an acute awareness of those dynamics and the psychology, you stand very little or no chance to have peace of mind, control, power, and influence. As it relates to medical research activities in the intensive care unit, you and your family need to know that it even has two sides of the coin. On the one hand, if the intensive care team thinks that your critically ill loved one doesn't fit a medical research category, it means that an earlier withdrawal or limitation of treatment may be suggested by the intensive care team if your critically ill loved one is in a difficult or life-threatening situation. On the other hand, if your loved one is in a difficult or life-threatening situation and your critically ill loved one is falling into a medical research category, the intensive care team may suggest to prolong treatment unnecessarily because they can continue doing medical research whilst unnecessarily prolonging your critically ill loved one's suffering. In order for you to turn it all around, your first step is to know what outcome you want for your critically ill loved one and then simply ask for it. The reality is that if the intensive care team is telling you that your critically ill loved one is dying and that you should brace for it, you might turn it all around by challenging the intensive care team's assumptions. I can tell you already that the intensive care team won't like it and see how they react. This is the only way to get what you want. You can also ask questions about the intensive care team's motives and agenda, and as soon as you've done that, you have done something 99% of families of critically ill patients in intensive care simply won't do. And you have done something that the intensive care team won't like, but you and your family are well on your way to have peace of mind, control, power, and influence. If you do just that, challenge the assumptions of the intensive care team by asking the right questions. If you ask for what you want, and if you ask for another venue for the meeting, you are well on your way to challenge the intensive care team. You are challenging their assumptions, and you will be able to find out what's really happening. This is the end of part one of this video, and I'll see you just right now in the second part.